Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf pei. We're holding the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Tes Amud Beis. We've been speaking for the last few days about the inyan of Nechse Malig. Nechse Malig, as we know, the Karen belongs to her, and the Peiris belong to the husband. And now, Rachmana Litzlan, at the termination of this marriage, when he's giving her a get, he has to return, of course, the Nechse Malig, and he no longer receives the Peiris. But what happens if the husband says, you know what, I have not been getting a lot of payers here. It's been producing very little, and I put in major investment, and I'd like to get some of my money back. That's what our Mishnah is going to address. Zuk the Mishnah. Ha-moitzi ha-tzuas al-nechsi ishtoi. To be able to get the payers, the produce, of course you have to go and put in a lot of investment. And he invested. Hoitzi harbe vi-ochel kima. He put in lots and lots of money, and unfortunately the crop was very minimal, and he only had a little bit. We will discuss what a little bit means in a moment in the Gemara. Or, Kimo v'yochel harbi could be the other way around. He put in a very small investment, and Baruch Hashem, the produce was huge. So now do you have to make a cheshbin? So the Mishnah, no. There's no cheshbin made. Masha hoitzi hoitzi, masha ochel ochel. Sometimes it's like any speculative investment. Sometimes the stock goes up and sometimes the stock goes down. So yes, he had the right to go and invest in this field and get the income from the field. There'll be years that he's going to get more income than his expenses, and there'll be years for Keth, there'll be more expenses than the income, as I guide us. And therefore, no cheshbonis, what he was moitzi, moitzi what he ate, he ate. He doesn't have to give any din v'cheshbon to her, and he doesn't get any money from her. However, there's one exception to the rule. What happens if you put in a lot of investment and expense, and unfortunately it produced nothing, he didn't eat anything? Says the Mishnah, Yishba kama hoitzi v'yitol. Then he should go and make a shvua. How much did he pay for the expenses? If he makes a shvua, yitol, he'll be able to receive that from the wife. Come to chois in our Mishnah. There's a major difference between a case where he ochal kima. If he's ochal kima, masha hoitzi hoitzi, he cannot get a penny. Or if he didn't eat anything, where he's able to go and get everything that he was wanting.
Like a flood or something happens, gunish.
It doesn't explain why, when, where, just simply yochel.
Will the Gemara describe what type of shvua this is?
We're not going to describe the type of shvua, but it will go a little bit more into the inyanim of the shvua. We'll see him yet.
What's the Russian kima?
Kima means abyssal. So now, abyssaleh.
It's a normal term or something?
Yeah, you find it from time to time, Gemara. You don't find it every day, but you find it. Now the question is, the kama kima. What is the definition? What's doctor? What are you upset, doctor? What happened?
Based on the premises, he's not entitled to anything.
That's what the first part of the Mishnah says. As long as he has some hanua, he doesn't get anything. But if he didn't have any hanua whatsoever, then yishba, and then he can go and take. Now the Gemara asks for kama kima. Explain to me how much kima. It doesn't say a mashu, it doesn't say a kizayis, it doesn't say a kibaya. How much is a kima? Omer asi afil groigris achas, even one dried fig. V'husha achla derech kavet. But dafka if he eats a derech kavet. Rashi doesn't explain what that means, derech kavet. The Mefarshim, however, say derech kavet means that he didn't just eat it for a snack, but he brought it home, and he put it on the table, and he sat down to eat it like eating a normal meal. If he ate a groigris, derech kavod, that's already sufficient that he loses his whole opportunity to get back any of the hoitzois. However, if he didn't even get that, or if he ate it in haste, kibichipozoin, if he ate it standing in the field and taking a snack, he didn't eat a derech kavod, then it's as if he ate nothing, and he's able to get back his entire hoitzois. Even vinegar. Vinegar means even less. What is less, says Rashi? Even if he ate a cake of dates, which were pressed cake of dates, that apparently is worth less than the groigris achas. As we look at Rashi at the top. Tomorrow, nidoichim yachad, they are pressed together. Kederach shedorsim te'enim yachad, litrois, litrois. They make as a cakes of pressed figs and pressed tomorrow.
It's a lot of tomorrow.
Right, 100%, yeah. It's af elokein, omikri shigra, doi haises shigra, and then Rashi brings another pshat, which he is doichim. But anyway, the point is that not only if you ate a groigris, but even if you eat something less than that, afilu shigra de tamri, pressed cake of dates, even that is considered to be a kimah, and because of that, he no longer gets the benefit of his hoitzeris.
So, that more than
I would have thought so, but Rashi says no. And look, right to Rashi, brings a second pshat, where the other pshat is that the chayre tomorrow more and not less. Ayin sham.
The grobis isn't it the ashir for Bayim Kippur?
Right. Koisvis is by Yom Kippur. Koisvis is Tmorim, and Groigris is from Fix. Anyway, Zotimoy, it's right to Boy Rabbi B. What about a Chuvza de Tamri? Now, what's a Chuvza de Tamri? Says Rashi, that not only were the dates pressed, they were pressed so much to kvetch out, squeeze out every little drop, because they made them into beer. Look at Rashi about 10 lines in. Chivtza de Tamri le'acha she'osu behen sheichar v'nisher habsoilis. They took that cake of dates and they really squeezed it and they pressed it to get out every little bit of juice to use for the beer. And now it's left, mamish barely left anything from those tomorrow.
That's
the derech kovet. We're talking about eating. But here we're talking about now what the quantity is.
I'm just saying it's very hard. I squeezed out. In fact, someone will give you a squeezed out orange.
Yeah, I won't like it. No. Anyway, Frank Dimar, my, what's the din? Says the Gemara, teiku, tishvi etar, it's kushav, so boys. So Dimar, that's all derech kovet. What happens if he ate it as kind of a snack on the run there in the field? What is the shear then? The shal is, what was the value of what he ate? Was it the value of an iser? What was the value of a dinner? What's the comparison between a dinner and an iser? So everybody knows that a dinner has in it, what's that?
Six,
what?
Six Susan?
A dinner has in it six mo'ah. Every mo'ah has in it two punjoinim, and every punjoin has two isrim. It's very easy to remember because there's a mnemonic called doivev ches. Doivev ches means that you start off with a sela or a shekel, and in that sela you have dalet, you have four dinrim. Every dinner has vav, has six mo'ah. Every mo'ah has beis, two punjoinim. Every punjin has in it two isrim, and then every isr has in it ches, eight prutais. That's why we say by a prut, it's echad mishmoine b'isr ho'italki. Anyway, but the point is that's doiviv ches, four, six, two, two, and eight. Okay, so now we're starting off not with the original seller, we're only starting off the dinner. So in a dinner you have six mo'ah, every mo'ah has two punjinim, six times two is 12. Every punyan has 2 isrim. 2 times 12 is 24. So therefore the machloikis is mamish agivaldige machloikis. According to one the man, the yomer, you're talking about a whole dinner. You're eating these groigris or tamarim for dinner, with the value of a dinner. But he's not eating a dever kovet. So he's eating the dinner on the run. And the other man, the yomer, says it's big isr, which is 1/24 of that dinner. So if a dinner were lamashal, like a dollar lamashal, we're talking about, the other one says, equivalent of like 4 cents, 5 cents, because it's 1/24. Anyway, those the maisim at the dinner. You know the famous story about the dinner with the Tzela Merov, yeah?
No.
It was the annual dinner of the Tzela Moises, and the Tzela Merov got up to speak. And the Tzela Merov said that the word dinner has three badaitungen. Badaitungen means three definitions. Three meanings. What three meanings? He said that Tzaten from Chazal, the times of the Gemara, the word dinner was a matbaya. By ins in the haim, a dinner might have said gedinnet. Gedinnet means that it was thundering. Here in America, zukta, dinner might a vechera. Vechera means supper, when you eat the dinner. So he says, by this annual dinner of the Tzelem of Moses, all three of the meanings should be makuyim. But dem dinner, zol dinrin mit dinrim. At this dinner, it should thunder with dinrim, with money. So here too, the person ate for dinner, he ate the quantity of a dinner, but not by derech kovet, he was on the run. Okay, zotimo yetzvaitim. Amri dayone de pompadisa, oved Rav Yehuda uvda bechavilis moiris. Rav Yehuda went one step further. What was one step further? Until now we were talking about the minimum, the kima that he ate in the field. But until now we were talking about macholi odom, what a person eats. Now we're talking about macholi behaima. In fact, which behaima normally eats chavilis moiris? Chavilis moiris means a bundle of branches from the tree. Your
an
average,
elephant,
I'm sorry?
An elephant.
An elephant, otazai. And Rashi Taka brings that. Of Rabbi Yehuda Ovda, the choshva, you know, about a third down, the choshva chila b'chavilis moiris shein machal lepilim. The hechel mihan habal lebehemtoi. Zaytuchos, the Baal didn't have an elephant, so he gave it to Saba Bahaima. He wasn't so makbid in what he gave, and apparently the Bahaima wasn't so makbid. The Bahaima is a Bahaima, so it ate whatever you gave it. But anyway, the point of the Gemara is that you can also establish achila for purposes of the Nechse Malug, even not by eating edible foods for a bnei adam, for people, but even giving for behemoths, that also is ochal kima for purposes of our Mishnah. Now, why does Rav Yehuda equate machal behema to machal adam? Because we find Rav Yehuda, in fact, says this in a totally different connection. Rav Yehuda letame. Rav Yehuda goes lishitasai. The Omer Rav Yehuda. Achla orla shviyas v'kelayim harizeh chazaka. What is this all about? We're going to get to Masechtas Bava Basra. We're going to learn in Perek Cheskes Abatim that if a person wants to go and prove that he's the owner of a field, if he's been eating and been residing and using this field for 3 years straight, after 3 years he gets a chazak. Okay, it's not a Cheskes Kinyan, it's a Cheskes Raya. Anyway, normally the Rabbanan hold that that works in normal fields during the normal 7 years of the Shemitah cycle, except for Shemitah. What do I mean the normal years? A normal year that you're able to go and eat from the field. Because, for instance, if you are planting an orchard, for the first 3 years you're not allowed to go and eat from the crops. You're not allowed to eat from the potatoes, because they're all arla. Shemitah, although you're allowed to eat from Shemitah produce, but it's all hefker. So if a person were to go and bring Adam that he ate in a field during the Shemitah year, big deal. I'm also allowed to. Uri's allowed to. Rapinchas is allowed to. Rabbi Kohen, everybody's allowed to. This alt is hefker. Same thing applies to kelaim. Kelaim, nobody can eat. The kelaim, you have to go and burn the kelaim. So, Ibazoi, how does a person establish a chazak on these three fields, on a field, if the field has in it orla produce, or if it's Shemitah year, or if it's kelaim? So, Rabbi Yehuda says you can still make a chazak. How? By using the chavileis and moirois, you can go and give the branches to the animals. Because he holds that orla only applies to the peirois. The shviyas and shmita only applies to the peirois. And the kelaim, there already depends when it became kelaim. Our Rashi says, it's talking about that the zmoirois were already present before he was mazriya kelaim. Anyway, but the point is, in all three cases, since even though a person could not have Achila or Hanoah from this field personally, but since he can go and cut his moiris and give it to his elephant or to his baby elephant, to his animals, so therefore you can establish Chazaka even through Machal Behema. So the same Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasei holds. Just like for Chazaka purposes you can use Machal Behema, same thing as the Gabi, the din of Achila by Pedis Nechsimalug, you can also talk about the Machole Behema. Good. Nushtikel, Omri Bianca Rab Chista. Ha moitzi hoitzois al nechse ishtoi ketana, ke moitzi al nechse acher domi. What is this all about? You have a husband and wife. The husband and wife is different than your normal case of husband and wife, because this wife was a ketana. And it wasn't a ketana that was married through her father, but rather through her mother or through her older brother, because she was a ketana. Okay, and Baruch Hashem, she also had Nechse Malug. It could very well be the reason why she had a Nechse Malug was from her father, and her father's no longer, that's why she's the Yisayim, and that's why she's getting married through her mother or the older brother. Okay, so what does that mean? Who cares? What difference? Big difference. Because since she's married through her mother, through her older brother, she doesn't need to wait for a get to terminate this marriage. At any given moment, if she's not happy, she can be Mimma Enes, she can go and say, I won, out, and she leaves. And then the whole marriage is over. Okay, what's the problem? The problem is, the husband has the benefit of the Nechse Malug in terms of getting the payrus. To get payrus, you have to make an investment. He originally went over to a gruyser agricultural expert, and he told him, if you really want this field to go and produce, you have to put in kach v'kach, you know how much time and effort and fertilizer and plowing and money. Topsoil and money, ta-ta-da-ta-da, you're going to have to put in a tremendous amount. And the husband says to himself, what happens if I'm going to make this major, major investment, and a day later, or a minute later, my young katana wife is going to go and say, I'm in the Enes, I'm leaving. She's going to take all the Nechse Malug with her. That's going to act as a major financial disincentive to invest any money. Because the husband's going to say, am I nuts? I'm going to put in thousands of dollars into this field, and then she's going to snap her fingers and say, I'm out of here, I'm in my Enes. So therefore, the Chomer has special takonim. What's the special takana? Zot Yomar. Hamoitzi hoitzois al nechsi ishtoi ketana, kimoitzi al nechsi acher dami. It's as if he was working for a stranger, for somebody else. What means he's working for somebody else? He's going to be able to go and get his normal profits or his normal income like an oris. Oris is normally he gets lemechta klishvaravia, or he would get whatever, you know, whatever the local custom is in the community. That he, if a person is employed as a farm hand to go and work in a field and take care of the field, he's able to go and get that wage or whatever the shear is. My time, what's the reason why? Of the Rabbanan Takanta, Keich Deloy Nifsedinu, the Chum specially made a Takana for her, of the Rabbanan Takanta, made a Takana for her, that he should not be mafsed the field. Meaning, if we were going to go and say that he does not get paid like an oris, but rather he loses everything, then he's just going to milk the field. He's just going to squeeze it out like squeezing out Nebuch those poor dates that you used to go and make a beer out of. And therefore, he's going to squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and therefore her property is going to be ruined. We want to encourage him to use the property properly and to invest properly, and then we say to him, if in case this marriage ends, don't worry, you're going to get paid, you won't have to worry about losing any funds. Okay, a new shtickle now. Hayi itza, there was a married lady, to naflu lo arba meyazuzi bechoizoi. She got a Yerusha of 400 zuzim in Bechoizoi. Bechoizoi is a place which was very far from Bavel, from where the Gemara was being learned and taught, and where people were living. Very far off place. Okay, now she got a telegram saying that 400 zuzim are waiting, or maybe didn't even say 400 zuzim, that there's a Yerusha of cash waiting for her in Bechoizoi. Now somebody has to go and pick it up. And FedEx wasn't available in those days. So Ozel Gaber, her husband, went to pick up the funds. Apik Shitmeya, he paid 600, says Rashi, in traveler's expenses. In other words, for all the buses and all the railroads and all the caravans and all the wagons and the donkeys and the camels to get from wherever he was all the way to Bechazoy, it cost him 600. Okay, I see Arba Meya, he was now coming back with the big fortune of the 400 after he already spent 600. But Hadadikasi, as he's returning home, it's Rechle Chadzuza. He still needed one more Zuz. In other words, the very final taxi ride from the train station to get home is going to cost him one more Zuz. And he didn't have any money left. After all, he paid out already 600 bucks just to pick up these 400. So what did he do? Vishakul Minayu. So he borrowed one of the 400 that he had in his pocket, and therefore, in essence, we have $601 of travel expenses to pick up the 400. Okay, so now the halacha is, what can he receive as a result of all of this? Now, from the fact that the Gemara now talks about Mashahoitzi Hoitzi, it must be that unfortunately when he came back, they got into a terrible fight, the husband and wife. And why did they get into a fight? Perhaps because the wife said to him, you spent 600 to go and pick up 400. Anyway, the reason why we have to say they got into a fight is because now we're talking about a case of a get. The whole cheshvan that we're talking about in our Mishnah and in the Gemara, being moitzi, moitzois, ochel kiveh, it all got to be talking again. If you look at the Rashi on the bottom of Ayin Tes Omid Beis, Masha hoitzi hoitzi, Zuk Rashi im Girsha, if there was a get. If there's no get, so there'll be bad years and there'll be good years, you know, that's what happens, you know, some years you have, Baruch Hashem, a good income, and some years, it's not so good. So, the whole time you're talking about these cheshbonis, is talking about, unfortunately, when the marriage is at an end. So therefore, he comes home, he's so proud that he went, schlepped all the way to Bechazoy, it took him 3 months to go and to come, and he spent 600 bucks, and he thought she'd be so happy, and unfortunately, she's not very happy, and she's quite upset. Anyway, so do I get? It's also the comment of Ami Omalei. So Rav Ami said, let's what it says in our Mishnah. Masha hoitzi hoitzi, umasha ochal ochal. What the Gemara assumes is that the 600 that he spent, that's hoitzois. It's not the hoitzois in the traditional sense of investment in the property, but it was an investment in the travel expense to go and bring the 400 from the Beit Chazoi and bring it here. Because had I not spent that money, it wouldn't be here. It would still be in the Beit Chazoi. So these are hoitzois. However, he was ochal. What was he ochal? He ate one zuz out of the 400 zuzim. And if that's the case, says in the Mishnah, Masha hoitzi, hoitzi, masha ochal, ochal, and therefore you're not entitled to anything. You ate something. And that zuz was worth more than the dinner, is worth more than the kisser, and therefore you got your ochal kemi, ate something, and therefore you don't get any of your 600 back. Obviously, this husband was not happy. Here, he spent 600. He has to hand over to his wife the 399 or the 400. And look what the hoitzu is, and he's not getting anything for it. It's Omer the Rabban Rabami. So Rabban said to Rabami, Rebbe, we think you might be a little bit off. When did it say in our Mishnah that if you eat an ochal kima, mash ochal ochal, hanimili heicha deka ochal peira? If the person invested a lot of money in the field, and although the produce that year wasn't fantastic, but at least he ate something, a kima, a groigris, some dates, he ate at the table mitaki isa, or he's running around, he ate ki isa, mitaki dinner. Okay. But that's heicha deka ochal peira when he's eating from the peiras. This that he ate, this one of the 400, this wasn't Paris of the Karen. The Karen is the 400. That's what he brought back, and that belongs to her. Like the previous Mishnah said, with that 400, you have to go and buy a karka, and then you go in and you plant the karka, etc. And then he gets the Paris from that karka. Over here, this 400, we didn't have a chance yet to go and buy a karka. So this is the Karen Alayim. So he has a double lashon over here. Hoitzah is number one, that it's part of the hoitzuas of the 600. It wasn't 600, but 601. So it's not, I paid 600 investment to go and bring the 400, and now I ate some of the produce, one of the, no, I didn't eat any produce. There's no payers yet. What I did is I ate part of the original 400. So therefore, it so means it's part of the investment, this one. It's not an achila. Also, the lashon hoitzah is from Milvel Hoitzoa Nitna. He borrowed that one from the 400. He's not entitled to take it. It's not his. The can belongs to her. So he borrowed it, and therefore he has to return it. So he owes Daka one to her for the 400. But the Masi didn't eat anything. Therefore he's entitled to get L'choira his entire amount. And in Cain, so now when Abami heard that, Abami said him, Cain Avale Hoitzi V'loi Ochal. If that's the case, he only Hoitzois. He didn't have any benefit whatsoever. No Pyrus. And therefore, Yishba Kamahoitzi Vyitl, he should go make a shvua, how much he spent, and then he can go and take that. Now you're thinking to yourself, well, how much did he spend? He spent 600, and therefore he should be able to take 600 from the wife. We'll see in a moment that the total amount that you're able to take back cannot be more than the actual value of the Karen itself. Which is the next Shtikli Gemara. We'll see the Gemara tomorrow. We'll develop this thought in another moment, and we'll come back to this in another moment.
So he could take up to 400.
Up to 400. Oh, it says he can't get 600, he can only get up to 400. And that's the next Gemara. It says in the Mishnah, Yishba kamahoitzi v'yitol. It said in our case in the Gemara, that if a person was only moitzi hoitzos, and he didn't eat anything, then Yishba kamahoitzi v'yitol, he makes a shvua.
That's the end of the Mishnah.
Zok Dimar Omer Basi, Vahu Shiyesh Shabach Keneged Hoitzah. That's only if the amount of the improvement is equal to or more than the amount of the Hoitzah. Now what does that mean? What did Rabasi mean by the Vahu Shiyesh Shabach Keneged Hoitzah? Lamai Hilchasa. We're going to have a machloikis between Abaye and Rava Pshat in this Rabasi. Omer Abaye. The way Abaye understood of Asi is that we have now a kula vis-a-vis the husband. What's the kula? When does he have to go and make a shavua? That's dafka. If the amount of the hoitzois was more than the amount of the improvement. In other words, we have a field over here. The person spent lemushal $500 to improve and to improve and to improve. But mit the Allah, $500, if you want to sell it now in the market, it's only worth $300 more, not $500 more. And therefore, the hoitzuas were greater than the shevach. Or it could be that they were exactly the same. He put in $500, and you could take a tell that it's worth $500, because after that, you want to sell it, you can get $500 more. Ah, so says Abaye, when Abasi said, v'hushiyesh shevach k'neged ha'itzuah, that the shevach, the improvement, meaning the appreciated price on this property, is worth the same amount of the hoitzois on the property, then you have to go make a shvuah. However, in the shevach, yes, a hoitzo, he did such a good job in improving by putting in lemushel $300. Now the property is worth $500 more or $1,000 more. So this was a very, very good investment. For a small investment, he got tremendous improvement and appreciation in the price. Oh, in such a case, since he's done such a great toiva for his wife, that he's really improved the property, that it's worth so much more, then he doesn't have to go and make a shvua, and he can go and take it with just by making a statement and saying, the property, as you can see, is worth $1,000 more, I want to go and get my $500 investment, pay it to me without a shvua. That's what Abaye says. Rava was quite upset about that pshat, and Rava says, in Kain Oslarume, if you're not going to require a shvua, then you're causing a person to chas v'sholem engage in a deception, in a haroma. Why? Says Rashi, very, very simple. Let's assume that he put in Lamushal $500 investment, and the property Bokshem is now worth $1,000 more. Good kitan. Since he doesn't have to make a shvua, now this person has an incentive, chas v'shom, to go and say, not that I put in 500, I put in $995 worth. It's better than how much I put in. I put in 995, and it's worth 1,000. So it's worth $5 more. Or for that matter, I put in $999, and it's worth $1,000 more. According to what Abaye said, if the shevach is yetzel leitzo, which is the case, $1,000 more than 995, noitzel leitzo b'lei shvua, you can go and take the entire amount without a shvua, then a person won't say, I only put in 500, or say, I put in 995, because you're incentivizing him, chas v'shalom, to lie. So it says, Rava, that can't be the pshat. What Rabasi meant is the following. Elo amar Rava, shem hoysa hoytzo'a yeseira ala shevach, and this is what we were talking about before, that what happens if he put in lots of hoytzo'as? He put in $1,000 worth of hoytzo'as, however, it's only worth now in the marketplace $500 more. What's the halacha now? Ein loy elo hoytzo'a shir shevach ubishvua, then he cannot get the full amount of the hoytzo'as. He can only get the value of the additional improvement to the property, but he still has to make a shvua. So meaning, in this case, Lamushal, putting in $1,000.
Only on the gains.
Only on the gains, exactly. So if he put in $1,000, and the property is only worth $500 more, he has to make a shvua that he spent $1,000, and he only gets $500. Exactly. But he still has to make a shvua.
The truth is, it's a shvua says, you must swear.
That's what Ruvah says.
I'm going to ask you for money. You always got to swear.
I agree with you, and that's what Ruvah says. But Abaye disagrees with that. Yeah. Abaye says, below shvua. Abaye even is there.
I can't ask you for money without swearing.
But the thing is that the money is in his possession right now, so he doesn't have to take it out of her possession.
That's a good point.
Oh, that's only the case of the 406.
No, but eventually case, he's getting his cup for money.
You're talking about the earlier case, right, about the person who slept all the way to Beit Hazoi.
Right.
He was talking about a regular case. He spends $1,000 on this field. He only has lots of invoices, a lot of papers.
And he has the burden of proof is on him.
Exactly. Anyway, so getting back to our famous Bechoizoi issue. So if we go back to Bechoizoi, that's what the Gemara meant before. This person, Bechoizoi, came back and we said, Yishba kamohoitz v'yitol. On the surface, it sounds like you can get back $600 from her. No, according to Rova, maximum you can go and get is the $400, because that's how much he's improved her lot by bringing the $400. Unfortunately, he hasn't improved it very much because he's going to take back the $400. Now we know why they had the machloikis, which led to the get in the first place, and that's why they had their dispute.
Okay. Statistics, most getting come because of money problems.
That's the statement, though. That's our Gemara. Okay. What about Iboyelahu? Baal shehoided arisen tachtav mahu. Instead of the Baal working in the field, he hired arisen to work on his behalf in the field. And Rashi says it's talking about a case that hoitzi hoitzu es harbe. It was very expensive. Especially these arisen, the labor cost a lot of money. reason they normally take the machshir shvuah for the revi'ah, but presumably if there is no crop, then presumably they're going to take wages. But anyway, he brought arisim in, and says Rashi, "Ochel kim," and he only ate a little bit. Since he only ate a little bit, but it was at least the shear of the groigris gesundheit, or the shear of the dinner, or the iser, whatever it was, episom he gets, and therefore he's not entitled to any hoitzuis. Now the problem is, the wife got a get, and the marriage is all over. Can the arisim collect for their services that they did in the field? Since it was the Baal that hired them, so they are in a sense the shlichim of the Baal, istalik le Baal, just like he gets thrown out of the Paris now, and he doesn't get his hoitzuas, because we said in the Mishnah, im hoitzi, hoitzi, im ochal, ochal, whatever he put in, that's what he put in, whatever he ate, but he ate something, he ate a kima, and therefore istalik lehu, and therefore they also have to leave, and they leave empty handed, and they get nothing, or at least vis-a-vis her, they get nothing. Oy Dilma, adata di ara nochis va'ara ki kaima la risi kaima. Or maybe I should go and say they went into the ara and forget about the fact that there was a baal. Says Rashi, what happens if the baal decided to go to kail and he's not going to go and work in the field? The field is going to be barren and nobody's going to work. She's going to have to hire somebody. So even though technically who hired their risim was taka the baal, but had the baal sat on his hands, then she would have had to hire them. So therefore she's benefited from their work. She's been enriched, so she should have gone and pay for their labor, for their work.
Isn't an aris a speculative because it depends on it's a percentage of the crop.
And
so why is it a question of how is this working? So the Baal hires the sharecroppers, they work the crop, produces $1,000of payrus at the end of the season.
If they do. But here we're talking about only ochal kimi, only ate a little bit.
No, so how did he ochal? So hold on, so my question is, so when we say he ochal kimi, he ate...
There was a drought that year, and therefore from the entire $1,000 of a wonderful investment, he only got out one little kegroigris. Everything else was washed away in a terrible tsunami, or in a terrible flood.
So there's nothing at all left over for the reason.
Yeah, no, the
work
there was,
is
for the reason.
Good. Sure, they did everything.
They did everything.
Nothing.
Exactly.
And
maybe they sheared the kegroigris together.
Okay.
Yeah.
The question is, she should take on his expense. That's it.
The question is, there a lien on the property, or is there a lien against him?
It's not so much a lien. We're talking about the obligation. It is. Since he brought them in on his behalf, and since he is not entitled to get anything more than the gregus that he ate, according to our Mishnah, so they are not entitled to get more than that gregus. That's one side. Or the other side is that if the husband had not asked them to do the work in the field, and if he had not done the work himself, she would have had to go and hire them. So why don't we deem it as if she hired them, and therefore they're entitled to get wages from her under these circumstances.
So is it a question of, is it the payrolls or is it the goof, basically?
Yeah.
It's being attached.
Or to use your favorite term,
it's a
chefzer gaver. Right, exactly.
It's like
Oh, so that's the more exact.
That's really it.
We're seeing not so simple. Anyway, so that's the more shayla.
They considered part of the land and finished.
And we're jocked here?
They belong to the land.
It's very timor, maskele rava, bar rav chonan. Maishno, I don't understand your shayla. This is the famous halacha that we have. What happens if somebody goes and sees next door to his house there's an abandoned field?
When the Medina say I'm somewhere.
Exactly, somebody went away, and he says to himself, it's terrible. Your uncle went away, he probably missed his flight, and he's going to come back in 3 months from now, and in the meantime, this whole field is going to go bad. I want to go and help him out. What am I going to help him out? I'm going to hire workers, I myself am going to go into the field, I'm going to plow, I'm going to sow, I'm going to plant, da-da-da-da. And Baruch Hashem, he shouldn't go and chas v'shalom have a tremendous hafsid. Anyway, and he planted it without the permission of the Balabatim. And now the Balabatim finally come back, and he says to them, you know what I did for you, Yankel? You have no idea. I saw that your property was abandoned, you weren't here, and I plowed and I planted it, and here's a bill for $1,000. So the owner says to him, I love you, you're a wonderful guy, and he gives him a big hug, and he says, I'm going to make a special kiddush in your honor, but $1,000, you're crazy, I would never spend this. You know me, I'm a kamtzin, I would have put in $100. I get about it, I'm not going to pay. So what's the din? who does he have a right or not? Says the Gemara, Shomen loy v'yode ala tachtoin. Shomen loy means we go and value the improvement to the property. In other words, similar to what Rava was saying before, he doesn't get the full amount of his hoitzuis unless the shavach, the improvement to the field, is at least the same or greater than the amount of hoitzuis. Because if he spent $1,000 and this whole property is only worth now $200 more, or $500 more, he can't collect the full $1,000, he can go and collect the $200 or the $500. So Shomen Loi means we appraise the value of the field, the Yodal Tachtoin, in the sense that he doesn't get the full amount of the Tzuas, he only gets the amount, the sheer Shevach, the amount of the improved. If it turns out that it's improved more than the Tzuas, fine, then he'll get the Tzuas. But Yodal Tachtoin, he always gets the lesser of the amount that he spent, or the amount of the increased value of this property. Anyway, so bottom line is I see that if a person wants to be, I'm going to use the term good Samaritan, but of course Barry's going to jump on me and say that's not a good term. But whatever it is, if the person wants to be a good Boy Scout, and he goes into the other person's field and he wants to do something, then he's entitled to get some payment. So here too, these Arisim went in, they benefited the wife. It's true that the husband didn't give him anything, and he's not entitled to anything because only Ochal Kimah, but since they improved the property, shouldn't they be entitled, just like in the case of Yerda Tichsa de Chaper? Says Yigmar, how can you compare the two cases? The reason why this person was such a good Boy Scout and he went into the property is because there was nobody else. He saw it's been abandoned. He's waiting day after day after day. Nobody's doing anything. And he says to himself, the Yankel's going to lose a mint. I'm going to go in. I'm going to help him out. So therefore, he's entitled to get at least Yodel Tachtoin. A bahacha over here, these arisim could have gone to another field. Ikabal the tarach, let the baal do. After all, he's the one that's getting the benefit of the paytas. Lozesh shvitzen, let him go into the field and let him plow and let him akker and let him do and let him mach and let him. The arisim didn't have to do it. So therefore, you cannot compare the two cases. But abalamaisa, what's the halacha with these arisim? My havelo, what's the halacha? Amr Avunah ben Rabbi Yeshua, chazinen. What we do is we see how toiglich means how competent, how talented the Baal is. E Baal Orisu, if a Baal Feshtait to a Karka, he understands, he has experience, he knows, he's an agricultural expert. No, because after all, really the Baal had the obligation to work in the field, and he has the creativity, the talents, the competence to do it. He should have done it. He hired a Arisim, so they're just Hishlichim. If he doesn't get, they don't get. However, if the Baal had not zwei linke Hand, if he only has two left hands, and therefore he doesn't even know what a plow looks like, he doesn't know if you put the plow upside down, you put it this way, you put it that way, he has no idea. So, Bazoi, the wife knows that her Baal is, you know, he may be the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, but he's coming plowing fields, so therefore, Ara Larisa Kaim, the Chefza of the Ara, using Barry's favorite term, the Chefza of the Ara cries out, I can't have this Baal, otherwise this field is going to remain a steha Baal. I want that this other should vax, it should grow and should blossom. Arisim, come on over! The Ara Larisa Kaim, this Ara is meant for Arisim, therefore she would have to go and
hire them herself.
Exactly! That's like this. So we're passing like both sides of the Iboyet. The shy of the Iboyet was, do I say that because he gets nothing, they get nothing? Or do I say that she would have to hire people if he doesn't hire? Said the Iboyet, both are right. If the Baal happens to be an Aris, he's toiglich, he's competent, then he should have done the work, and they're just Ishlichem, and if he gets nothing, they get nothing. If the Baal is only had zwei linke Hand, and therefore he's not able to be the Aris. So she would have had to hire. She would have had to hire, even though he technically hired them, she has to go and pay
even
the Aris.
Even if he was incompetent, manual labor, he's getting the pay raise. It's his. It's not the wife, but his person. He's the one who's managing the property.
Yeah.
So it's still his shlichim. He's still a Poland type thing.
So let's look at the last two lines of Rashi, all the way in the bottom. E Baal Ze Orisu, the Yoidea Bativ Arisis, he understands what this is all about. Shim lo yer de elu hayahu atzmai oiv, that he himself could have done the work. Istalkalu, the Omr lahu, she says to them, come off Sidisili. You're not helping me, you're being mafsin me. Why? The Eloi Nachsisu, if you would not have gone into this property, then my husband would have done the work, and he had the obligation to do the work. He's supposed to provide the payers. Well, they have a shokel hashtamidi. And he would not have gotten anything because it's talking about ochal kema, and therefore you don't get anything. However, in a case where my husband is toignisht, he doesn't understand tarises, then I would have had to hire somebody, and therefore I have to go and pay you, even though I didn't hire you, but I would have had to hire you because this land cries out for an aris. Ibailo. Yeah, so now
it just sounds that the official shalom, there's no one the Yomad says that the person that voluntarily went into a free deal didn't get anything. It just sounds that there's no sheep
on that. No, exactly. Yeah. If he went into because he wanted to go and steal it for himself, it's a different story. If he wanted to take over and therefore use squatter's rights, and the reason why he's investing because he wants to take over this abandoned property, that's a different story. But here we're talking about he wants to do a toiva for the original owner. He's the other tricks of the Chabera to help him out. He shouldn't have a terrible Aveda. Therefore, we get it. Daki gets a Shkoyach, but his Shkoyach is not worth more than the improved value of this property. So if he's invested $1,000, it's only worth $200 more, he only gets his
$200. Okay.
Okay, Ibailo. Now we have a brand new case. In Jassan, we had already several times in the Mishnah and the Gemara, what about if a wife wants to sell her Nechse Maluk? And you remember we started off the Perek with the four separate scenarios. When did she get the Nechse Maluk? Did she receive it before she became an Arusa? Did she get it after she became an Arusa and she sold it while she was an Arusa? Did she get it because she was an Arusa and sold it when she became an Asua? Did she receive it after the Asua and she sold it after the Asua? Can the Baal take it back? Can the Baal not take it back? Rabbi Gamliel says, we had all of those in Chesanta Shabbos. Now the Gemara is going to ask the mirror image. What's the mirror image? What happens if the Baal wants to go and sell? Now obviously the Baal can't sell the field himself. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to her. But he wants to sell the income stream that he is entitled to, because he's entitled to get payrus every year. Now this is going to be about a very speculative type of sale, because he only gets an income stream as long as they are married. If Chas V'Shalom there is a fight, or if Nemach one of them dies, and then the whole deal is over. Ah, so says the Gemara, but you found a person who's willing to go and purchase this income stream. Is that an effective sale or not? Iboilu, Baal Shemocha Karka LePeiros. He didn't sell the Karka LeKarka. He doesn't own the Karka. But he sold the Karka the rights to go and receive payrus from this Karka for the next year, two, three, four. Mahu. Miyamrinan Maidekoni Ha'akmi. What he owns, that's what he sold. If he owns the payrus, he's entitled to sell the payrus. You know why the Chum likes the idea that the Baal gets the payrus? Mishum Revach Perisa. So that the home should be more plentiful. Now the Gemara doesn't mean to say that that was the principal and only reason why we're Masak and Peiris. Because we had already in the Gemara before, it's Peiris Tachas Perkuna. Maskim. However, but the Gemara is saying it's Abla Maisa, the Peiris that he's going to bring into the home, that's going to go and Baruch Shem enhance the meal and enhance the Sholem Bayis. Like the top Rashi said, Vishom Revach Beisar, She Yachnas a Peiris LeBeisar, the Mozen a Bayis Motzui, the Yetiv Lo. She's going to be so happy. Baruch Hashem Yitaka went, worked in the field, mitarisim, onarisim, mitzvai linkehen, mitzvai rechtehen, Baruch Hashem, he got payrus, and now it's plentiful. Instead of just going eating a cold piece of bread, she's able to go and add to it some fruits and vegetables and other stuff. I am machai, mishum revach beisim. Avazun eloi. But to go and give him the absolute right to the payrus that he should be able to go and sell them and then spend the money in Las Vegas or drink schnapps, to shenish. Only if
they didn't give it to him to be able to sell.
Exactly.
The whole thing is bottle.
Right, exactly. They didn't give him that right to go and sell it. They gave him the right to go and use it and use the field and bring the payrus into the home. Absolutely right. And those dig more shayla. Yeah. You have to put a shayla behind it. Zog dig more. It's takamach like is Yehuda Mar Bar Merema Lishmei the Rova Omar Masha Osa Osui. Even he agrees that Chachila, you shouldn't go and sell it. But if he sold it, he has the right. It's his payrus. He can go and sell it. Rav Papa or Rav Papi Omar Mishmei Derava Loi Osav Loi Klum Nines is Gunish Riyah Shemi Nada. It did not help. this sale didn't work, and therefore he cannot go and sell the payas. Why can he not sell the payas? Also, l'chlum l'chori, it's because of revach beisa. But we'll see in the Gemara in a minute, in another few lines, it'll be machloikis why it's not an effective sale. So stay tuned. We're going to get back to it.
Please tell me the margin of what Rav is saying.
What is it? There you go. Yeah, Rapapi or Rapapa Mishmei the Rava and Mar Yehuda Mar Bar Mareima Mishmei the Rava. Exactly right.
Is he selling the potential payers that are going to come?
Or yes, the income stream.
He can't sell because it didn't come yet.
Yeah.
He can't sell
them. Anyway, so Omer Rapapa. Hod Yehuda Mar Bar Mareimer Lav Befeirish Itmar El Michlol Itmar. Even though he's quoting Rava, he never heard Rava address this specific Shaila. There was another story that happened, and based on that story, he figured, oh, doesn't Rava gemeint? I see that's how Rava would pass in our Shaila. What was the Michlol Itmar? The Yitzhak, there was a married lady, the Ailele Le Gavra Tarti Amasa. She was, Baruch Hashem, a lady of means, and she brought with, through the marriage, she brought two imois. Two imois means two amohis, really. Two maidservants, two slaves, to go to shvachois, to the marriage. Now, this husband was not such a nice guy. What did he do? Ozla Gabra Nosev Itza Achriti. He went and married an additional second lady, which of course is permissible, before the Chender Ben Geshem, and to apparently to entice her to marry him, or perhaps even not to entice her, but Lamaisa Ayla Chodaminayim. He went and took one of the two Amois and said, my wife doesn't need two Shvachas, leave one Shivcha for her, took the other Shivcha for the other wife. Alright, but anyway, this is what he did. I said it's not.
Shalom Bayis.
God says it.
It's the opposite of Shalom Bayis.
Zok the Yomar Asoy Lekami de Rava. Now the parties came in front of Rava Tzavcha, and she was screaming. Who's the screamer?
The first wife.
Original wife. And Rava ignored her. Ah, okay, so now Yehuda Mar Bar Mareimer apparently was present, or he heard about this story. Is man the chaz sabar mishum the sabar masha also osoi? Since we give him the payres, what means the payres? The payres means she brings into the marriage these two amois. The amois, the ladies themselves, they belong to the first wife. However, the payres means their labors, their whatever they're able to work and produce, and therefore, since it belongs to him, he could have sold the produce of one of these amois to a stranger totally. So instead of giving, selling it, he gave it as a present to the other wife. So if you hold Masha also it works. So that was the basis of why Yehuda Mar Bamareima Paskit. Then the case where someone tried to go and sell the payas, that's Maluk. Masha also it works. The wife will scream, but the Maisa Masha also. But says Rapapa, but that is incorrect. Pulohi. The reason why Rava said it's okay in Mishum Ravach Beisa, because the main principle by Peiris is to make sure that the wealth stays at home, it doesn't go outside. So therefore, that was the Be'emes, it could be that if the husband wanted to go and sell the payers to a third party, he could not do that. Because that money wouldn't come into the payers, wouldn't come into the household. You don't have Revach Beisa, it would be prohibited. Why did Rava allow for taking one Amor from the, one Shivka from the first wife and give it to the second wife? Because you have that Revach Beisa. Since they all live together under one roof, so the two Shvachas together are going to tidy up the house and take care of the whole house. So even though she won't be sequestered always with wife number one, she's going to be working for wife number two. But Malamaisa, what are the both wives going to do? Both of them going to clean up, and they're both going to cook, and they're both going to sew, and they're both going to do whatever household chores the women would did in the good old days. And therefore, these two women, they're going to help out Revach Beisa. So therefore, said Rapapa, that Yehuda Mar Bar Mareima argues with me, it's really not 100%, because that deal that he made from the story, it was inappropriate. It's a nishkarai. Okay, but the Maaseh Frank Yemur Yetz, the Hilchasa, what's the din? Baal Shemocha Kakele Peiros Lo Yosv Leklum Taka Like Rapapa Omer Mishmei Derava Lo Yosv Leklum Frank Yemur My Time Or Taka. Why not? So we already said the reason before Lechoyru because of Revach Beisa, but Yemur is going to give two answers. Number one, Abay Omer Chayshinen Shema Tachsiv. What means Shema Tachsif? Remember, this sale of the payers, this is not a permanent sale forever and ever. Because what happens if and when Chas Shalom there's a get? And the next thing, Maluga is going to go back to the wife, and she's going to go and have the right of the payers for the future. Now, anybody that's going to buy the peiros realizes that at any given moment, the husband might give a get to his wife. So, can you imagine? Thursday morning, the husband says to a potential speculator, I want to go and sell you the income stream from this property. It's a wonderful idea. That's great. How long do I get it for? Until the time that I give a get to my wife. Okay.
Or he dies.
Oh, I don't want to talk about people dying, Cholim. But you're right. So what happens now? So if the speculator has any brains, he'll say to himself, I got to be nuts. If I'm going to go and spend any money, 5 minutes later, he might give a get to the wife, and I lose their guns. I'm not going to... It could very well be that the husband and wife were already in divorce proceedings, and therefore...
He's going to divorce her and then remarry her in order to basically...
Yeah, he'll do it. He can do that 100 times. Anyway, so bottom line, let's finish off with the doctor. So the bottom line is that a person would be kind of nervous to do this. So what happens if you have a person that does engage in such a purchase, and the husband says to him, don't worry, we happen to be on wonderful terms, and everything is good and tremendous, and blah, 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 blah. And therefore he sends him the payers. And then after that, Baruch Hashem, it's coming planting season, and the purchaser says to himself, because at any given moment he might give a get to the wife, it doesn't make sense for me to invest any money in this property. I might lose my entire investment. So Shem Etachsev, maybe he's going to milk the property, not invest anything, and just take the payers from the property. And therefore, that's why we say, Le'usav Le'klim, you cannot go and tell it, because we don't want her remainder interest to be ruined by the fact that you sold it to a stranger. But says Rashi, however, if it's the Baal himself, the Baal will want to invest in this property, because number one, he wants to go and show his wife how nice he is, and he's so good, and therefore he wants to instill a greater degree of shalom bayis. And number two, he says to himself, what happens if chalila v'chas, my wife is going to go and die, I'm going to go and yarshin the property, I'd be nuts to go and milk this property and not invest properly, because if a one chalila she dies, and I get now taka this nachsim aluk, I'm going to have ruined property that I ruined myself. So therefore he has every incentive,
by neglecting it, or by milking it.
Sold the payers, and she died, wouldn't that guy get the payers after the death?
That's a good question. The Gemara really doesn't address it. Uh-huh. So konzayni or konzaynish. But anyway, the bottom line is, Zukti Gemara, that's why Shem Etachsev Chamoira, a third party purchaser, is going to ruin the property. Ravam Mishim Revach Beisa, like we said before, that the reason why he shouldn't go and sell it is because a major purpose of allowing him to have the payers is to bring the payers home so they should enjoy it together. Frank Timor Lechoir, both reasons make sense. My Benayu, so Timor Ike Benayu Ara de Mekrev Lamasa. If this field is not far away somewhere, Ichvais in Kentucky, but it's right next to the person in Manhattan, right next to the door, you look out the window, there is the property, then you don't have to worry about that the purchaser is going to Shem Etachsev, because the wife, as soon as she sees that he's not doing it properly, she's going to be moichen, she's not going to allow it to occur. She's going to go and say, purchaser, you better go, I'm going to sue you because I have the remainder interest, because this is my property. So therefore, you don't have to worry about Mekrev Lamos, you don't have to worry about the first time of Shem Etachsev. Well, it's Rav Apeis, you have to worry because the husband and took the money, and he's going to spend it in Las Vegas. Einami Baal Orisu. Or it's talking about the Baal is an Oris. What does that mean? It says Rashi, that even though he sold the payers to the third party, but he took upon himself that I am going to be the person working in the field, and I'm going to give you at the end of the season, payers gemurim, the finish, I'm going to send you a nice box. It's going to go and say, manufactured and packaged here in Manhattan, and that's what I'm going to go and give you. Since the Baal is the one that's working in the field, she's not worried about Shem Etachsev, because the Baal has every incentive to go and invest properly in this field. Finally, Inami, Zuzi, v'ka'ovid bohu iska. When he sold the payers to someone else, what did he do with the money? So until now we talked about spending in Las Vegas. Then there's no revach beiser. But if he's going to take the proceeds of the payers and he's going to go and invest it in a new piece of property, or he's going to invest it in a nice investment which is going to produce many more payers, then we'll have revach beiser, because that's going to bring the new revach beiser. He says, instead of buying and getting from the field some alte groigris with cakes of dates, I'll be able to go and invest it in Google. The Google's going to go up 10 times, and I'll be able to go and bring so many more payers to the table. Okay, so the Gemara writes the Mishnah. Until now, we spoke about a married woman, an arusa or nesua. Now let's talk about a shemeres yavam nebuch. Why is it nebuch? Because nebuch, her first husband passed away, and she's waiting for yibum or chalitza with the second husband, with the second brother. So shemeres yavam shenavlo nechasim. Now what's the halacha now? As long as she's still a shemeres yavam and she has not been nisyabeim, anything that falls into her rishus, she can go and sell it. It's as if she is single, so to speak, because she's not married to the second husband. However, in terms of financial assets, nechsimaluk, she can go and sell, no problem. Mesa, what
including
happened?
Including the
payers. Yeah, Alice, Alice, total sale. Exactly. Now, Mesa, what happens? Chas v'shalom, the Shemeres Yavam passes away before Yibam or Chalitza as a Yavama. Mayasu b'ksu v'asa, u'benechosim ha'nechnosim ha'yoytzim ima. Now, what means b'ksu v'asa, says Rashi? The word ksuva over here is a broad term, which includes the 100 and 200, as well as any nechse tzoin barzel, which are set forth in the ksuba. So what happens with that? And what happens with the nechosim, nechnosim, yoytzim, ima? That's another term for nechse maluk. Why is it nechse maluk? Because when they get married, she brings in the nechse maluk, and when the marriage ends, she takes out the nechse maluk, she takes it back with her. So what happens with all of those, this woman that nebuch meisa? Beishami omrim yachliku yorshi habal im yorshi af. Yorshi habal means the original husband, and therefore who is his original husband? Nebuch, he died, he doesn't have any children, so it would be the brothers. That, in other words, the Yavam, and since there was no Yavam, nobody actually Yavam, so if there are a number of brothers, all of them are Yorshim. And Yorshim means her Yorshim. Yorshim means the father of this Nebuch, of this lady that passed away. Her Yorshim, which could be her father, could be her brothers. They'll split it up. Now, the Lashon of the Mishnah sounds like that this applies both to the case of the Ksuba, which we said includes the 100, 200, and the Nechzit Tzoyim Bible, and as well as the Nechzimaluk. However, Rashi points out, the back of Masechta Yevamos, the Gemara said that really Beishama is only referring to the Nechzimaluk, and he's not referring to the Ksuba. Why is he not referring to the ksuba? Because, for instance, on the ksuba, the 100 or the 200, that belonged to the Baal, and therefore he is the muhsik in it, and if you have a suffix, who should get it? L'chayre, they should go and keep it.
You need the Yorsha Baal.
Yorsha Baal, the Baal is Tachshin Ishdu. So, ma yasub ksuvasa, so even though the Mishnah used ma yasub ksuvasa, the Gemara Mesech Sivoma says that you make a stop after that ma yasub ksuvasa, not just a question mark, but also an exclamation point, that the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't address, according to Beishamai, what you do with the ksuvah. All Beishamai addresses is the case of Nechasim, Nechnasim, Yoytzim. Ima, that since by Nechsim Aluk, by definition, there is a division of sorts. She keeps the Karen, the husband gets the Peiris. Nebuch, she's now an Almona, but since there is that division, and therefore she's in no man's land as the Obama, they split it up, Yerusha Baal and Yerusha Av, they take and they take. Ubei Salamrim, Nechosim Beches Koson, Uksuba Becheskis Yerusha Baal, so now Basil is making now three categories. Number one, nechasim beches kasim. This nechasim beches kasim, as Rashi means, the nechsei tzoin barzel. The nechsei barzel remain in their chazaka. The question is, whose chazaka are they? That's a Gemara's shaila in Bava Basra. And the Gemara declares whether they're considered to be Becheskes Yorshei Baal or Becheskes Yorshei Ha'av. What's the Shaila? Because really, in truth, they belong to her, the Nechzit Tzoyin Basel. However, since they did a Shuma in the Shtar, he took upon himself full achrayis to pay her back the full $1,000, $1,000,000, whatever this property is worth. So therefore, in one sense, it belongs to him, and he has this financial obligation. On the other hand, it belongs to her, of course, until he paid the financial obligation. He didn't, because Nebuch, he's dead. So then it should go back to her. So there's a shala, who's the chazak on these nechosim? Anyway, Ayin Memesechus Bava Basra, not clear from our Mishnah, who's the chazkos. But that's the nechosim. The ksuba is b'chesed yorshei ha'baal. That's talking about the 100 or 200, because after all, the baal never paid that money out. It was always in his bank account. Nevertheless, the baal is now in the oilam ha'emes, but his yorshei ha'baal, they are now the yorshim. It belongs to them. So therefore, it belongs to them b'chesed yorshei ha'baal. The chasid chasid yorshei, which is the next name, look, the b'cheskes yorshei av, they go back to her side, which of course makes sense because the Karen after all belonged to her. He only had the income stream. He's dead. He doesn't get the income stream anymore. But therefore it goes back.
They only gave it to him, but when he's not alive, it goes back to the woman. That's the smarter.
Yeah.
So the Shemeres, the Yavam, when she's a Shemeres Yavam, the Yavam does not get anything, the income, so the payrolls from that Nechse Malug remain with her.
Exactly, 100%. And that's why Mechesim says a kind. In fact, the Gemara in Yavamis Taka asks, I understand Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is very, very much consistent. Say if she is alive and she sells it, she gets all of the proceeds, everything belongs to her. So now that she died, it also all goes to her. Not all to her, it goes to Yorshe'av, meaning to her side, to the Yorshim. It's Shver on Beis Shammai. Why did Beis Shammai say that because she died, she loses 50%, that Yechleku Yorshe'av and Yorshe'av? No, if 5 minutes ago had she sold it, she'd have gotten $1,000, the whole thing. Because she died, she loses half. And Rashi says, Ayin Sham. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, now we talk about a new case. Instead of that the Yerusha was a Yerusha Moshe from her father, what happens, Hiniach Achiv Mo'oiz? What happens if the brother, Nebuch, the first husband who died, left over money? What do you do with this money now? Now, from here, for the next few lines, we're not, it sounds like we're talking about Peiros Nechse Maluk, but Rashi points out, we're not talking about Nechse Maluk anymore. What we're talking about now is, first of all, Nechse Maluk means from her side of the family, she brought in property. This is not property that she brought in, this is from the Baal. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that later on in the Mishnah, it's going to say that if and when the Yavam is going to be Miyabim her, number one, she does not get a Ksuba at this time, even though an Almon is entitled to a Ksuba. No. Because now she remarried the second husband. The second husband is like a continuation of the first marriage. She doesn't get a Ksuba now. But instead, if and when Cholila, the second marriage terminates, that he dies or gives her a get, then she'll get a Ksuba. But not a Ksuba from the second Baal's property, but from the first Baal's property. Exactly right. So now, what happens if there's not going to be any property left from the first Baal? So the second Baal has every incentive to get those monies and use them and spend them and get rid of them, because it's not my headache. The ksuba is on the Baal Harishon. So therefore, to protect the wife, that she should ultimately get the ksuba from the Nechse Baal Harishon, if the first brother left over money, meaning that the husband can go and use it and have the benefit from the income, because it happens to be his. However, he cannot sell it because we want that there should be property left for her ksuba if and when this marriage terminates years to come. So this is not a din of pay. It sounds like Peiros Nechse Maluk, but it's not. It's similar and parallel to it. And the reason why Yilkav Ben Karka is not because of Nechse Maluk in Yonim, but because we want that there should be property as collateral for her to chop on if and when the marriage ends. Similarly, not only in Yich Ochiv Mois, in Yich Ochiv Peiros HaTlushim Nekarka. So this is parallel to the earlier Mishnah that we had. It wasn't actually cash, but it was Peiros HaTlushim. What do you do? The same thing. Yugamen Karka, Vuoichel Peiros, by buying the Karka, now we'll have Karka again for the future in case she needs to collect
her
Ksuba.
You're talking about according to the Shear of Ksuba.
Yeah.
It's not that he can't sell nothing.
What you were saying is correct, but we're going to have later in the Mishnah that even if it doesn't say it in the Ksuba automatically, Kol Nechosim Achroi in the Ksubasa. We want that there should be, all the Nechosim should have on it that lien and be the guarantors, because as you know, properties can go up in value and they can go down in value. So it could be that it's referring to everything, even beyond the shear of the 200.
Okay.
Anyway, continue. Hamuchubar mekarka. What happens if it's not tolish but it's mechubar? Now this is the Ramea that you were quoting a moment ago. In other words, that the husband left over paid his mechubar mekarka. What do you do now? So the Gemara says the same. The Mishnah says the same thing that we had in the previous Mishnah. Amar Meir, Shaman Oisin Kamein Yovim Bipay. So Kamein Yovim Belay Payrois. Go and assess the value of this field. How much is worth with payrois? How much is worth without payrois? Vamoiser. Vamoiser means the difference between the two values. You'll come in karka as you go and buy a karka. Well, payrois can have the benefit of the payrois stream from that new karka that he bought. And the karka will remain there as the guarantee for her ksuba later on. The chacham maimrim, payrois mechom the karka is shaloi, they belong to him. Now, why should it belong to him? In the previous Mishnah, when we talk about that it belonged to him, so we said that since he's entitled to payrois, the question is, what is called payrois? When does payrois become Karen, and when does payrois become payrois? So according to the mayor, we say we take a snapshot at the time when the person died, when she received that Yerusha, and at that moment, those payrois, that's really the Karen. So if they're mechubal karka, that's part of what she receives as Yerusha. And we said, however, according to the chum look upon all payrois as payrois, and therefore, we look at the time of the Talisha, the time that we cut the Ketira, we don't look at the time that she received it. That was the previous Mishnah. However, over here, we're talking about a situation of payrois mechub bekarka. This is not nechsem aluk. These are payrois that the dead husband Nebuch left over, the first Baal, and now it falls Lirusha. So just like we said that we want to guarantee repayment of her ksuba, payment of her ksuba years to come from the second marriage, so Ibazoi, payrois mechub bekarka, also Lechoyra should have that same shibud on them. Kol nechosav achroin for purposes of her ksuba. So the Gemara, Rashi already says, the Gemara is going to ask that Kasha, why do I say that the payrois belong to him? Lechoyra they should belong to her, not that she should be able to eat them, but they should be hers in terms of collateral for future ksuba purposes. Okay, hatlush min hakarka. What happens to those payrois which are tolish min hakarka? Kol koidim zocha behem. Now this doesn't mean kol koidim any stranger, but it means between the husband and wife, whoever went and grabbed the payrois first is zoicha. Kodim who, if he's the first one, zocha. Kodim he, if she grabbed it first, yilchach ben karka bu oichol payrois. Now what is this all about? Why do the chacham disagree with Rameir? Remember by the payrois tolushin before we said yilchach ben karka bu oichol payrois, and now we're saying no, it depends. Zocha b'hen hu, zocha b'hen hi. What's the shaila over here? So Rashi says that the machloikis between the Tanakama and between the Chachamim now is when we say that all the nechosim of a husband are achroin to the ksuba of the wife, are we only talking about karkois? Oh, we're also talking about metaltalin. The Tanakam holds even metaltalin are achroi to the ksuba. So therefore, if the first husband left over metaltalin in the form of payrois tolushin, what do you gotta do? We have to go and guarantee that she's gonna have a ksuba later on. And since all the nechosim are achroi, so take these monies, take these payrois tolushin, sell them, buy a property. Now I know for sure that she'll have collateral for years to come from now. Mashenkin, according to the second man, the Yomer said, no, if he owns those payrois tolushin, if it belongs to him, we do not say that the metaltalin are achroi in the ksubasov, and therefore only in the karka, not on the metaltalin. So what is the metaltalin now? The metaltalin is up for grabs. If he grabs it, it's no longer the property of the first husband, it's now his, and therefore he does not have to go and sell it. If she grabs it, once she's tofus, then she can go and force the sale to go and buy a piece of property so that it should be for her
it's
future.
It's kind of a suffix, it seems like. Yeah. Who does it belong to?
Well, you see, if you look at the Rashi, two lines before the wide lines down at the bottom, kol koidim ben zocha, you see that, two lines before, kosav and metalka leksuva loy mishtabdi, elim kein tofsa, unless she grabbed it, or mechaim debal beinan tvisa. When the husband is alive, then you have to have tvisa, kidal kamen ba koisiv, who are dinami de pligi aksofim. Even though we're focusing on the payrois tolushin, same thing on the ksofim before, the maishna ksofim be payrois tolushin. They're both the same, they're both metalkalim, and so therefore, just like by the payrois, it depends on who grabs it first, same thing by the money. If she grabs it first, then we can go and force the husband to go and buy a piece of property, and oichel payrois.
So it's not a suffix, that's how the kind of was.
Don't you think? Yeah, she is though. Very good. Fine. Now, that was until now Shemeres Yochan. Now this is one of Barry's favorite expressions, that's until the Yibam or Chalitza. What happens if Kanta, he eventually was Miyabimer? What happens now? Hari Kishtul Chaldavar. That's what the Mishnah says, right? That's a famous expression from Masechta Yevamos, which Barry is very fond of. Anyway, Ishtul Chaldavar, and they now are man and wife. Bilvad, but with one exception, like we said before, not that the new husband has to go and shtel the ksuba. The ksuba is on the nechsi balarishon. Lo yoyim malah harik ksuba sech munachas al shulchan. Now a yovim shouldn't say, and we'll see in a moment that this is not only a yovim, but any husband should not say, I know what the ksuba is. I took the ksuba, I read it very carefully, it says that you're entitled to 200, plus a tesefis another 50, made in the dachti tzimbaz another 100, 350 altogether. You know what? I'm going to go and buy a nice property of 350, or I'm going to buy you a diamond ring for 350, and you're going to have the entire ksuba will be covered with that, so I should be able to go and sell all the remainder of the property, like you were speaking about first. So layoyim Allah, he should not say harik suva sech munachas ala shulchan. Here, I put the entire amount for yiksuva on the shulchan. Of course, ala shulchan is really just an expression. What he means to say is, I'm going to put it into an escrow account, or I'm going to put it in and buy a piece of property. No. Elakol nechazim achran yiksuvasa. All nechazim have on them a lien, a collateral. He cannot go in there and say, oh, all of the rest of the property now is free of any title defects or liens.
Why shouldn't they allow that? She should get the money right now.
Incentive to divorce.
Yeah, the whole purpose of the ksuba is so right. That they should go and live together happily ever after. Because if he wants to give a divorce, he says, oh, you can give a divorce, but it's going to cost you a lot of money. I change my mind. See here, if he has the ksuba all set up, and any given moment he'll say, goodbye, Charlie, and here's the ksuba.
That's good
spot. Mechein lo adam liishto. Same thing applies to regular husband and wife. Don't say ksuba vasa menachas ala shuha. Elkan lechosav, nechroin liksuba vasa. Now, Girsha, what happens, Chas Shom, in fact, if there's ultimately a get, Ein Lele Ksuba for Shteitzach, then she only gets the Ksuba, whatever the 200, 300, whatever the Tosefes, whatever the amount was.
Next same Basel,
exactly, she gets back next same look, but she only gets whatever is coming to her. Hechzira, what happens if he takes her back again? Harik Cholanoshim, Ein Lele Ksuba, but then she reverts to a regular marriage, it's not anymore because of Yibam, in other words, the Yavam originally married her, and now he takes her back a second time, then she just gets back to a normal, regular case, and the Gemara is going to ask, what's the Chiddush about what you just said? Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sai, and Mitzvahs will continue tomorrow.